Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron, well I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog, just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him, I made the call, it was just like I'm reppin'. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said thank God I ain't average. Yeah, I'm a bright young man. Kill the GPA and the BPM. Look, we on. So say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae. From the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
Hey.
Yo,
what it do, what it do,
coming in hot, yeah,
coming in hot,
coming point blankers, what's happening?
Yo, point blankers is hilarious to me, I don't know why point
blankers. It is hilarious to me too.
I love it. What's going on, Point Blankers? Don't I sound like somebody from YouTube? What's going on, Point Blankers? Welcome to another episode of Point Blank Radio. Like, share, subscribe, follow. What else they say? Do a bunch of stuff before you even hear what the show's about. We want you to follow us before you even know what you're following. Hell yeah. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah.
What's going on, y'all?
What's good, Sir Elliot here.
I'm going to stop you for a second, E.
Yeah.
I got to get mushy. Listen, my week, you know, we all have some hard weeks when it comes down to our everyday 9-to-5, you know, and I'm not going to lie. I definitely look forward every single Wednesday night, 8:30, on getting on this show with you, Kia, and with you, E. So I definitely look forward.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I definitely wanted to throw that out to you. You know, I got to get mushy with y'all for y'all my people. I got to get mushy.
I really
look forward to Wednesday night. I know it's hectic sometimes, but I really look forward to Wednesday night. So, you know.
Yeah.
Y'all soft.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
let me dust that off. I'm a thug. I don't get soft.
Wait a minute. I got something for you. Hold on. Hold on. Did you hear it?
No,
how about
that?
Is that hard enough?
What's up, y'all? Ain't no feelings in Point Blank. We too gangster for feelings.
That's it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no crying in football.
No crying. No, basically, no, that's right. You play football. Ain't no crying in football.
Ain't no crying. Hey, but look, I was just sitting here watching a television show, one of my favorite shows, Chicago PD, I was watching The Time, Young Tick, and I'm like, man, I got to get ready for this show, you know, and you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to lie to you, all week I've been, you know, crazy busy with marketing for 610 Tactical, you know what I'm saying, trying to figure out what's going on with the other areas that you mentioned to me, Kia, you know what I'm saying, Groupon, you know, things like that. You know what I mean? I just been crazy busy, but it wasn't until about, I don't know, maybe about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was like, oh, snap, it's Wednesday. You know what I mean? So I was like,
creeped up on you,
we
man.
Got the show tonight. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I was definitely excited. So that's what's up. So we're going to jump into it, or we're going to talk about our week for a little bit.
I think it's a lot to go over.
You know, this kicks off. This is our first show for Firearms Safety Awareness Month.
Yay! Yeah.
talking about. Yeah.
No doubt.
Firearm safety awareness, very important. You know, folks, we don't just shoot guns. That's a very huge misconception in the 2A community. We're not just about shooting guns. We love shooting guns. But
yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot more about shooting guns. We love shooting guns for recreation. We love going to the range. We love shooting guns. Us instructors, we love teaching people how to shoot guns. But me personally, I love teaching people about the safety around firearms, number one, and then conflict avoidance. Because once you execute those two things, guess what? It helps me keep my guns because, you know, they look for us to go crazy and do stupid stuff to say, we told y'all, let's take those guns. You know, and then that conversation goes left, it goes right, it goes up, it goes down, it goes whichever direction. So nothing. I don't love anything more than teaching people firearm safety because it is something that not a lot of people get. So that's my personal spew when it comes down to firearm safety. So happy Firearm Safety Awareness Month, folks. It is June, all month.
All month.
Yo, that, yeah, I think it's really cool, you know what I'm saying, because on the 10th, your boy celebrates a birthday. You know what I mean? So I was like, yo,
44? 45?
Yeah, 45, man. I turned 45 this month, you know? I love it.
You know, I got to keep doing this 45 times.
You feel me?
We're going to have to find a happy birthday song or something.
Nah, I don't need that. Yo, ain't no crying in football. I told you, ain't no crying in football.
Sorry,
hey, but look, it's so crazy, too, because I just finished an AR-45 build for a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A real nice-looking AR-15 chambered in 45 ACP. And it's tough. It's tough. I haven't taken it out to zero it in yet, but I definitely will. You know what I mean? But it's really, really tough. I can't lie. I love the way it looks. It takes Glock 19, Glock 17 magazines. You know what I'm saying? The fun sticks. You know, it's tough, man. I'm really so. You know, I kind of really want to put some final touches on it because. Is you know what I'm saying, I finished the build, you know, in the month that I turned 45. I thought that was pretty
dope.
Oh, awesome.
That's,
you know,
cool.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. That is pretty dope. That is pretty dope. Oh, man, that's dope. Yo, E, when you say zero in, what you mean? Let's just know that. Don't know anything about that. When you say zero in, what do you mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people that are into firearms, they understand scopes or red dots, optics, right? So,
okay.
I think one of the misconceptions with new shooters is that the moment they get an optic or a scope, it's automatically going to help them shoot better. But that's not by no means the case. So what has to be done is what we call a zeroing process, where you have to find out or line up the optic or the crosshairs inside the optic, or a red dot if it's a smaller optic, has to be in complete alignment with the barrel that releases the, you know what I'm saying, the projectile. So if it's in alignment with the barrel, then, you know, wherever the red dot or the fiber, the crosshairs meet, that's where the round. I'm trying to make it as you know what I'm saying, as watered down as possible.
No, you're hitting it right on the head. You know, I just wanted to, you know, for me, who was not too long ago as new into firearms, I had no idea when I heard people talk about the zero ending process. I don't know what the hell that meant. I was like, zero? Zero? I thought I'd slap a cool laser. That's what, you know, a stop cool laser on top of it. And I can see down the magnifying glass, and no matter, I just thought out the box, it came that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At one point,
a lot of people make that mistake.
This is kind of show you how ignorant I was to firearms. Is I thought the red dot wasn't necessarily a dot, like battery powered optics. I thought it was just like a glass with a red dot sticker dead smack in the center. You know, and now I know better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, again, I know I'm probably not the only person to think that. So I don't mind admitting that. So,
hey, but look though, and, you know, just to step back for a minute. Remember, I told y'all, when, you know, on our first show, the first time I ever fired a firearm was in the Marine, is in the United States Marine Corps boot camp at Parris Island. You know what I'm saying? So I totally understand. You know, the whole sight, front sight, sight alignment, sight picture. Man, they were speaking a whole other language, man. When I was there, I was like, I don't know what none of that means. You know what I mean? So. to see, I mean, for real, to see where I am now with my ability to shoot, man, I tell you, you know, years of practice, but even still, you know, I'm still growing, you know what I'm saying? But zeroing in, I'm going to say this right now to everybody that's listening. Don't spend your money on those things that promise to help you make your scope or your red dot in perfect alignment with your barrel. You want the bore sight and all that. No, don't do that. In a few weeks, I'm going to be doing a video on how to zero in a red dot or a rifle scope with no equipment in less than three rounds. Three shots, you'll have a perfect zero at 100 yards or whatever yardage you decide you want to zero in your weapon. So, I'm going to do a video. Yeah, 6-10 Tactical is going to show people how to do it. No money. And with ammo still kind of being on a somewhat shortage, in three shots, I guarantee your rifle will be zeroed in. It'll be on point. All right? Shooting at a dime at 100. You feel me? So.
Oh, I can't wait for that video.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, you know what video I still haven't posted yet? The Canic versus the Glock.
Can I share that video on my YouTube page?
Sure. I got to do it. I'm going to tell you, I had to do it again. The lighting was really bad. But let me say this. Yo, Glock, if y'all listening, y'all better step your game up. I'm telling you right now, that Canic is a beautiful shooting firearm. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe how well that gun functioned at the range.
Sexy.
Glock better step it up. I understand Glock has all of those accessories to make your gun nice and functional. Right. Yo. Panic outside the box. Killing it. That's all I can say. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to that video. Cleans it up, you know, with his graces, I'm definitely going to be, you know what? That's going to be my first official video for Zach Tactical YouTube channel. I'm going to put it out there. So I'm looking forward to that video, E. So clean it up, send it my way. So
yeah,
I'm blast it out for you, man. You know, one team, one dream.
Yeah. I definitely want to post it as well.
Hell yeah.
No doubt.
Take that back, you know. Kia hit us up, and Kia was like, yo, it is June Firearm Safety Awareness Month. We can't let this month start without talking safety. So, Kia, what was all yours, sister? What was all yours, queen of
100.
Point blank? What do you want to talk about coming down to safety? What floor is yours, lady? Floor is yours.
Royalty. You know who she is.
Floor is yours. We don't got no royalty. We ain't got nothing royalty on here. Let me see. We just got coming in hot. She coming in hot, y'all. No.
Yeah.
Whatever. Y'all crazy.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
Well, we all know that safety is number one. Like you said, Dwayne, aside from shooting guns, aside from being able to shoot, you know, the target and all that good stuff, before all of that happens, I think that we all start our classes and our sessions off, one-on-one sessions, we start those things off with safety, because it doesn't matter how well you can shoot. If you make, you know, if you make mistakes or if you're not putting safety first, then none of that stuff matters. So, you know, we always go over. I just finished this one-on-one session, and the first thing that I went over with her is safety. So I know we always go over the four major rules, but I actually found some additional ones that I thought were really good. So, of course, we always talk about the basic ones. you know, the basic ones is, you know, always making sure that you treat all guns as if they're loaded, whether they're loaded or unloaded. And then also making sure that, that you know, you don't point your gun at anything that you're not willing to destroy. That you always keep your fingers off of the trigger until you're ready to shoot. I'm going to repeat that one again. Keep your fingers, the trigger, until you're ready to shoot. And also always making sure you know your target and what's beyond.
That goes for professionals and soldiers and law enforcement folks. That one is such an easy one. Keep your fingers off the damn trigger. I'm sorry, kid. That one grinds my gears. Like, oh, my gosh. Ugh. Right there.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes can be avoided if the finger wasn't on the trigger.
Yeah, I don't want to lose. I don't want a life lost because you decided you wanted to apply 6 pounds of pressure. You know,
that one of the things that we have to remind our clients, like, we have to remind our clients that guns are designed to, like, that to the moment you grab a firearm, it's almost like your finger wants to fall. That's how they designed them. It wants to fall on that trigger. So, you know what I'm saying? I used to kind of that used to drive me crazy at first until I realized as a gunsmith, man, it's designed that way. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be a little bit more understanding, like, it's not that they're thinking about putting their finger on the trigger. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's designed that when they grab it, reflex almost puts their finger on the trigger. You know what I'm saying? So we have to constantly, like in the Marine Corps, we used to have to literally over and over and over safety rules and then keep your finger off the trigger. I mean, like, all the time, someone saying something, you know, finger off the trigger. Hey, keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger. Because it's really not our client's fault. They're, you know, unfortunately, they're babes, and they don't understand it. You get what I'm saying?
I don't accept that, Elliot. I'm sorry. We go over it, and the same way I just said it to you is the same way I said to them. Keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger don't have accidents.
I'm not saying stop saying it the way you're saying it. What I'm saying is we have to literally treat them like babies. And I know that sounds crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger off the trigger. Keep your finger, you know what I'm saying? And you might say it a little bit more stern than I say it. But I might say it probably 100 more times than you say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, keep your finger off the trigger. No, don't keep your finger off the trigger. Watch, you know, and then, you know, a big one for me, muzzle awareness. Oh, my gosh. Hey.
Right.
Watch where you're pointing that gun. Watch where you're. Now, that's where I get a little crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Keep your finger off the trigger. Watch where you're pointing that gun. Because an accidental fire could happen and they didn't even pull the trigger. I mean, let's be realistic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it could be a delayed fire. Yo, watch where you're pointing that weapon. You know what I mean? And I can't stand, this is a big pet peeve for me, people that are instructors in other things that come to get firearm instruction and don't want to be taught.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
You know, E, you said something earlier, and I wanted to jump in, but what you were saying was too sweet. And, Kia, you preach this all the time, and I definitely preach it as well. But when you said it earlier, you said that you do it, and you are on the highest level, in my opinion, you know, when it comes down to a person that utilizes a firearm. You're a Marine, right? You know, you said once a Marine, always a Marine. So you are a Marine. You're great at what you do, but you – still practice. How are you great at what you do, but you still practice? You know, folks, practice. Practice.
Yeah,
all law enforcement, practice. They're practicing. You know, I play a lot of basketball, you know. Anybody that wants to, you know, any of our listeners that play basketball, our phone number is 845-241-9979. Call me. You can get it in. You get this smoke. But aside of that, you know, I had to put that plug. you know, the NBA players are at the top of their game. I'm from New York, y'all. Brooklyn. Brooklyn all day. East Flatbush. Crown Heights. I live in Virginia, though. Love it. But, you know, NBA players, they're at the top of their game. They're in the pinnacle, if that's the right word, right? That's where a lot of people, they practice high school, I mean middle school, high school, college, other leagues, and they practice, and then they get that call, hey, you're in the NBA. Do you think they stop practicing? Do you all think, rest in peace to the Black Mamba. Rest in peace to the Black Mamba. He practiced every day.
Man.
LeBron still practices. You know what I mean? So it's practice. You are never so good that you don't need practice, especially 100%. When it comes down to a firearm. Especially when it comes down to a firearm. I'll challenge anybody
again,
in that. Practice.
People that
practice.
Believe that they don't need it, they're dangerous. And I really need to emphasize this. If you feel that just having a firearm is enough, you are as much the problem as everything else we see going on out there. You know what I'm saying? You have no real understanding of the power that you're wielding in your hand. If you don't practice that, y'all know what I'm talking about. Recoil,
yeah.
It can be a monster if you don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to put rounds down range. I mean, I watched a video today. Oh my gosh, young lady not shouldering the shotgun properly. She goes to fire and the shotgun flies behind her. How does that happen?
Oh wow!
Saw that video, and everybody freaking laughs. It's not funny, y'all.
Right?
It's not funny.
Someone could have gotten killed.
It's not funny at all.
You see what I'm saying? But again, that's a lack of practice. But when we're saying practice, everyone, especially when my man Dwayne says, when he says practice your grip. If it's a rifle, practice how to shoulder the rifle comfortably. You may need to adjust the sight properly. You may need to adjust the optics. You have to practice how to present the firearm before you shoot the target. You need to practice these things. Why? Because in a real-life situation, it ain't time for practice now. You hear what I'm saying?
Can I toss something in there? Can I toss something in there when it comes down to practice? Because you guys are boiling my blood right now. Okay. So you go out, you go to the range, and you practice. You're shooting at a static target. That's what it's called, Kia.
Yeah.
A static target, the one that's not moving. You're shooting at a paper target. You don't shoot back. That's fine. Knock on metal. I'm going to change it up. Knock on some metal that you don't ever have to shoot at a real-life target. So you practice all the time. Are you practicing, for those of you that are concealed carrier, do you practice drawing from your holster? Are you dry firing? And dry firing is just, utilizing the firearm without live ammo. You know, what does that look like? So practice. Don't just practice by going to the range. You can do this from home. I had a student tell me, well, the range is too far. Your house isn't. Your bedroom's not. Your kitchen isn't. Find a safe place. Point in a safe direction. Find the safest direction and practice facing that direction. Practice drawing from your holster. You know? Before I talk, I'm going to talk back to Kia because, this is Kia's. This is Kia's baby right here.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Kia. We're taking it over, Kia. But it pisses us off. Folks, I see this a lot on YouTube. Okay, those instructors, let me not call out instructors. Those folks that have the, what is that thing called? The thing that will beep, shooter ready, beep. I don't remember what it's called right now. Cool. You're practicing draw speed. Oh, I just drew my firearm in 0.5 seconds, whatever is a good part time for you. Why are you rushing putting your firearm back into your holster? Why are you practicing that? Why are you drawing from your holster, putting a round down range, and rushing to put your firearm back in your holster? Why are you shooting? Ask yourself, when you draw your firearm and you fire a round, your goal is to stop the threat. Once the threat is stopped, why are you rushing, trying to get the fastest time to reholster? I can understand if you're law enforcement. I can understand, you're military, so that's something that you need to do. Draw your firearm because your primary is empty. You rush, you shoot, put it back, and you're back on, you're back doing your motions. We're not law enforcement, so why is that something that you're putting into your everyday? Folks, a lot of accidents a lot of negligent discharges. And I don't like using the term negligent. A lot of discharges, right, unresponsible, irresponsible discharges happen when you're drawing your firearm because fingers on that trigger, like E said it,
hand
naturally goes for that grip. So how are you practicing when you draw your firearm? Practice, practice, practice. Finger nice and high. Trigger finger nice and high. Practice drawing that real fast if you want to, because that is where seconds count. You want to know how to draw quick, present quick. You don't need to know how to reholster your firearm in the fastest possible way, because you're going to shoot your stuff off if you're a dude.
Yeah.
You're going to shoot your stuff off if you're a lady. You're going
to
shoot yourself in the gut. Yeah,
you're not
a competition shooter.
They want to be competition shooters.
Same the Wild Wild West. And even a competition shooter don't reholster fast. You know, I had to get that out. I've been dying to get it out. I go down that path with my students in every single class. I said, cut it out. Stop doing this stuff on YouTube, folks. You're making our community toxic. Cut it out. All right, go ahead. I'm talking about you, Kia. I'm sorry. Sorry, y'all.
Another part about safety is understanding the gun that you have. It's like I've had so many students come to me, and they end up having to use my gun or rent a gun from the range because they don't even know how to use it. So understanding the mechanical and handling, you know, of your gun, how to take it apart, how to, how to load it, what things. One lady I had, she was pulling the trigger, but it had a safety on it. You know, so did you read your manual? Did you go to YouTube and look at some videos on your gun? So if you're going to purchase a firearm, at least know how to use it. The basic functions of it, and, you know, take that thing apart, oil it up real good, put it back together, you know, and make sure it's in good working condition before you bring it to the range. I've started adding that now to my confirmation emails when I send out to people, adding that to the thing. If you have a brand new gun out the box, I need you to take it out of the box before you get to the class and oil it up. So that. Always making sure that it, when the gun fails to fire, understanding what to do. I've seen people at the range, I think we all almost football tackled somebody one time because they pointed the gun didn't shoot, and then the lady turned it to her face to look down the barrel. We were like, so once that gun fails to fire, you need to understand what to do. You don't want to hold it down range in the shooting position. I tell my students, sing happy birthday to yourself. And then, you know, try to, you know, clear and see based on what's going on, hang fire, misfire, square fire, whatever. But that's another reason why you need to get a training class. Take a training class so you understand what to do when you pull the trigger and nothing happens. So, you know, definitely training and things like that, because it's nothing. I mean, can you imagine, like, I think Ebony was on the show the other week and she said the guy pulled the trigger, nothing happened. He was about to spin around and the gun went off. Hit the wall. So, you know, you can't do that kind of stuff. You have to know what's going on.
Absolutely. Ooh, I like that happy birthday, Kia. I'm going to steal that. I normally say, you know, wait between 30 to 60 seconds, but me personally, I like to say go to full 60, count to 60, but I like that happy birthday song because everybody counts 60 for whatever reason differently. I don't know how we can count 60 different, but apparently – you have those folks that say 1, 2, okay, they have those people that go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because they just want to get back to shooting. This is life or death. Well,
right.
I'm going to steal that from you, Kia. I like the happy birthday song. I like that.
Yeah. So, and then also making sure you don't just rely on that safety to keep it from firing, because like we tell everybody in our classes, a safety on your gun is a mechanical – what a mechanical item. It cannot work. It cannot function. It can break. It can malfunction. It cannot.
Yeah,
so safety isn't a fail stop for you to feel like, oh my gun is safe. I can point it or do whatever, because the safety isn't, you know, always reliable.
So you're telling me, Kia, that if my gun has a trigger safety, a grip safety, and a manual safety, I can't just put the safety on and play with my gun? Are you telling me, so what's the safety for? Are you telling me that there's a strong chance, or not a strong chance, but there's a slight chance that the safety may not work in a gun?
Is it man-made?
Is what you're telling me?
Is it man-made? If it's man-made,
you got me.
It's man-made. You know.
You got me. It is man-made.
All right.
You got me. Okay.
I think wasn't it Ruger a few weeks ago that had they had to recall the guns for the safety didn't work?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So,
you know what, ma'am? You know what? Based off of what you just told me so far, I am going to go to North Carolina, and I'm going to sign up to what I've heard is the best class available out there through Point Blank. So
there you go.
I'm just going to go. And then I'm going to go ahead over to the pretty much westish side of Virginia, and I'm going to go take a 610 tactical class, and I'm going to bounce on over to Richmond, and I'm going to take an awesome ZEC tactical class because, folks, it's important. Get trained. Get trained, get trained, get trained. You get a manual. I am a typical man when it comes down to manuals. I can get some IKEA furniture straight from Sweden, and it's going to have 2,000 parts. And when I put it together, guess what, folks? It's going to have 100 parts left over. And I'll be like, no, it works because I don't read manuals. But you know what's the first thing I do when I buy a gun? I pick my gun up in my hand, trigger finger nice and high. I don't care if it's empty or not. Trigger finger nice and high. I look at the gun. I say, this is a beautiful gun. I'll get back to you, baby. And I go read the manual. Front to back, back to front. Period. Got to read it. Because
I tell people all the time, you know, even if you buy a gun used and it doesn't have a manual, go to YouTube and just learn some of the functions. I don't really know too many guns that's out there that's not a YouTube video somewhere out there with someone demonstrating it and talking about some safety features and things like that. So go to YouTube. If you buy a gun that doesn't have a manual or whatever, just go to YouTube or go on Google and Google it so you can learn about the gun before you start loading it up and shooting it and stuff.
Don't follow everybody. Like, don't watch everybody's video, because some of them, can I say this, Kia? They're idiots. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I love how he was about to ask
they don't
the question
know what they're
and
talking
he
about.
Quickly just said it. He didn't even wait for me to get it. He's like, yeah, they're idiots. They're pure idiots. No, but you're right there.
I mean, yo, listen. If you research, if you watch the videos and then you research what they're saying, you'll realize who you should follow or listen to or possibly watch and who you shouldn't. You know what I'm saying?
That's
everybody
right.
is not a respectable instructor. YouTube, Patreon, these platforms have made it easy for people to make money by posting all of these videos. But the majority, there are more out there that don't have a clue about what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, people, please, don't just follow everybody. Don't, just what I tell you. There are a couple of them that I really like. But, you know, and I'll definitely will, you know what I'm saying, if y'all want to know a few, come check us out, Zach Tactical. You know what I'm saying? Point Blank, 610 Tactical. Look at our pages and some of the people that we repost, you know what I mean, that we really feel that they're respectable, you know what I mean, instructors.
So, E, are you telling me that I shouldn't just go on YouTube or my favorite social media platform and just follow the person that has the most followers? That's what you're telling me to do? You're telling me that the person that has the most followers isn't the one that has the most knowledge? Wow. God, you hear this, folks?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Y'all hear this?
They're just popular.
It's that simple.
They're just popular.
That simple.
So, you guys,
research,
we have a caller.
You know what I'm saying? Find out their background. I mean, because don't get me wrong, there are some really good instructors that have no military or law enforcement background, but they do understand laws. They understand safety. They understand their firearms. The functions. They are really good with no military background. That being said, I know a few with military backgrounds, and I'm like, yo, what branch did you serve in? Because you don't know anything about that firearm. So
yo, E, we got to call.
You know what I mean?
We got to call.
Okay.
We got to call it.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's see. Let's see who we have on the line.
I think it's Sarge.
Let's see.
I think it's Sarge too.
Welcome to Point Blank Radio.
You guys ought to play the lottery today. It looks like you hit the jackpot.
I know that's right.
Thank you for taking the call, and thank you for the resounding applause. But I have a confession to make out of embarrassment, which I hope will be instructive for you and your listeners.
Okay.
Okay.
When I was a tank crewman in Vietnam, I don't know if you know it or not, but tank crewman is a personal defense weapon or issued 45 caliber 1911 A1 semi-automatic pistols. We have for
right.
also for crew protection, we had a couple of issued to the tank. They're called OE equipment, M3 A1 submachine guns. We had two of them per tank. That was standard issue. But for your personal weapon you carry around when you're not in the tank, you got the 45 automatic. Well, we got in a little dust-up with some NVA who were close to our tank. I was outside the tank looking, checking the track tension, and some local Viet Cong militia came up, took some pot shots at us. I had pulled out my 45 and took cover so I could maybe get back in a tank without getting shot. So I shoved my 45 back in the holster. This came to mind when you guys talked about safeties. So I shoved my 45 back in the holster hastily at somewhat of an angle, and went back to work. Got back in the cupola, got back to work. You know, we beat off the VC. And after it was over, we got back to base. I'm on the back deck of the tank taking a look at the, bustle rack, where we stored the 50 caliber machine gun ammunition, 50 caliber machine gun. And then I jumped off the back deck of the tank. Now, if you're familiar with an M48 tank, that's about a little bit over 5 feet, 6 inches off the ground, the height. And when I jumped off the back of the tank, I now know what the term going off half-cocked means. When I hit the ground, I'd accidentally, when I shoved it in the holster, the front sight must have caught on the edge of the holster, put the slide moved back far enough to put the weapon on half-cocked. And when I jumped off the back deck, it jarred off the half-cock notch and put it around right through the holster, right next to my foot into the ground.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Now you know what the term going off half-cock means. The half-cock notch on a 45 was not intended to be actually a safety. It's a safety measure. It's like if you're cocking the hammer and your thumb slips off the hammer, it'll fall to the half-cock notch rather than falling all the way back and hitting the firing pin. That was the purpose of the half-cock notch.
Yeah.
Not intended as a carry safety.
Mm.
Wow.
So it's a little bit embarrassing to relate that, but it happened. And it happens.
Well, I bet you won't do that again.
I know, right?
I was lucky to get out with no more than just a little bit of embarrassment. Because fortunately, like I said, I had it in a hip holster, but I had it in across the shoulder holster they normally issue. It might have been a different matter, but as it was, no harm, no foul, I guess. But I did learn a lesson. Always be careful and make sure you don't inadvertently put it in the half-cock notch.
Yeah.
Let me give you a clap on that one. That's a very good rule of thumb.
Safety
is a paramount issue, because firearms, after all, it has to be said, as we well know, and you guys are reiterating here, very lethal items, lethal instruments, and I guess you can't overstress safety handling enough. It's really impossible.
No.
It's something that's got to become like instinct when you're handling firearms.
Yeah, 100%.
And you definitely can't get bored of hearing about safety measures. If I go to a new range, I want to look up and see the four or three rules around gun safety. I want to hear an RSO tell somebody, hey, blah, 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 safety. If I go to a private range and we're all meeting up, I want the owner to come over to us and say, hey, folks, before we shoot, let's go have a safety debrief. I want to hear that. You know, I can't hear about safety enough. So, Sarge, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. And I know you said it was foolish. It was definitely not foolish because, again, we all learn from our mistakes, right? So you learned that day in a very, you know, non-lethal way that helps you later on in your life. So, and, you know, he was carrying a service weapon, you know, outside the waistband. Think about you folks out there that carry inside the waistband for concealment and do the same thing.
Right.
You know? That's scarier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way for the gun to swing out of in a safe direction. You know, you roll, that gun is pointed in the same direction every single time. So I'm going to leave that right there. Sorry, thank you so much for sharing, as always.
Yeah, well, that's one nice thing about more modern semi-automatic. Even though I think the 45, other than its magazine capacity, is probably one of the best combat handguns ever made. Still, modern handguns do have firing pin safeties, and that is a big plus.
Yeah.
Even though if it's a double action or single action pistol, it kind of affects the trigger pull a little bit. But still, a firing pin safety is good because it means that, you know, the firing pin cannot move forward unless the trigger is pulled.
That's right.
Yep,
thank you so much for your
for sharing
that story with us, Sarge, because we know that there's some things, some people out there that probably have embarrassing stories that may be too embarrassed to tell, but I'm sure that if you make a mistake like that, you'll never make it again. So.
Oh, never
absolutely.
Again.
And I want to tell you thank you as well, Sarge, for having our number on speed dial, because I know you got our number on speed dial, because we said our number once today. And he just picks it up, hit point blank, and it dials right to us. So, Stars, thank you for having me on my speed dial. So.
Hey, I'm enjoying the show. I was listening just to hear, you know, what you're saying, because, you know, what you're saying is definitely, basically, pearls of wisdom and reminders, because everybody can use reminders about, you know, handling your weapon properly and other things that, you know, you tend to take as routine, because you really can't ever take handling a firearm as routine, even if it is routine.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely. Folks, can you all give us a call in? Share your story. Share your story of a time that scared you, or even better, share your best safety practice. Give us a call, 845-241-9979, 845-241-9979. Like that, Kia, outside of you,
yeah.
Kia.
Whatever, Dwayne.
And, you know, one thing I was always kind of had a problem with when I was instructing and training police officers and soldiers as part of your, you know, the NCO, you're supposed to be, you know, regularly assigned training people in your platoon or your squad or whatever. You gotta reconcile good safety practices with the dynamic movements of maneuver involving either police engaging, say, a suspect, or a fire team engaging the enemy, and it's kind of a contradiction. And you got, and if you're going to have realistic live fire training, you've really got to be alert to the possibility of people covering each other inadvertently as they maneuver. And that was one of the things, you know, whenever we set up instruction practices, we'd go over every possible way we could imagine maybe someone who's excited or amped up based on the training might do something that might cause them to inadvertently put another police officer or soldier in hazard. And it's one of the – I think it's probably the biggest single thing that causes many either police departments and or particularly National Guard units – to be reluctant about doing live fire training, which is essential. Absolutely essential. You've got to do it, even if it is a risk.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree
with that.
It sounds like
there's
attention,
and you've got to be aware of.
That's right. Thank you so much, for your pearls of wisdom.
Absolutely.
Now, do you guys do when and if you do that, what do you do, say, in order to minimize the likelihood of someone accidentally sending a round into someone's back when they're moving or something? What is there anything that you particularly use to minimize that likelihood?
Anybody take that question? Go ahead, E.
I don't want to talk over anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Kia.
Well,
yeah. So when we're training tactical movement, we focus a lot on muzzle awareness, on how to maneuver with the muzzles. You know what I'm saying? We have like sayings like, you know, alert to the dirt, high to the sky. But when we're in group movement, you know, it is, of course, having you know what I'm saying, one of our, you know, either the squad leader or whomever is doing the class or the training is behind, and we're constantly reiterating muzzle awareness, muzzle awareness, muzzle awareness, you know what I'm saying, so that if we have one person moving from the left to the right or right to the left, or if we're as a squad changing direction, how to change direction without sweeping each other with the muzzles, you know what I'm saying? I'm not one for, you know what I'm saying, what we call sweeping the ground, because I don't really like the time that it takes to go from presentation, sweep the ground, you know what I'm saying, and then presentation again. I'm really one for presentation, then muzzle high to the sky, present again. You know what I'm saying? Muzzle high to the sky, present again. So that's kind of just some areas that we go over kind of, probably hundreds of times. Of course, you always have one person, though, that you have to, you know, kind of, you know, beat with a stick. Not really, but you know what I mean? Over and over again, because they think that they're more advanced than what they really are. So.
Yeah. Well, what we had both as SOP and the various units I was in was two things. You know, number one was a finger off trigger at all times until you're ready to engage. At the second you're ready to engage, as taught religiously, finger off trigger, finger off trigger, finger off trigger. And there was a court case in Illinois where it was as part of the lawsuit, it was indicated in the decision, the court decision, that the department that was sued hadn't conducted finger-off-trigger training, and as a result of it, the state incorporated it into training as a mandatory part of training, finger-off-trigger training, and with a particular emphasis on it. And also the maneuver tap on the back. If you're close to a person within his arm's reach and you got to go around them, you tap them on the back to let them know you're going. Because, you know, there's a lot of noise. You can't hear anything any damn way half the time. You know, if you're in a firefight. So you hit them on the back to let them know you can move.
Absolutely, yeah. Physical communication is as important, if not more important, than verbal. But like you just pointed out, when it's a firefight, you know, rounds going off, if you got a 240 Golf or a saw that's, you know what I'm saying, a couple yards over, trust, you can't hear your partner, so you definitely have to communicate. You know, and those are definitely things that we reiterate. Finger, you know, off the trigger, yes, all the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But those are things that kind of like walking. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you talk about finger off the trigger, even if you're just carrying your firearm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you got your AR-15 right, alert to the dirt, strapped on your shoulder, and you got your hand, you know, your hand on the pistol grip, you're still reiterating, hey, finger straight off the trigger. You know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely.
Right.
I don't know if I like really keeping the firearm really low because, like you said, the amount of time it takes to present it again. And,
yeah.
You know, I like to keep it down just below your line of vision. You can see enough so you don't trip over anything. But you can bring it up
absolutely
quickly. And, again, finger off triggers, what you stress more than anything else because – you know, M4, M16, or any of the variants thereof, you know, with the safety engaged and the finger off the trigger, it's pretty, you got a pretty safe weapon there. I mean, you know, even, it's pretty much even drop safe, even with the safety off.
Right.
So, right. You know, I mean, you can, the main thing is finger off trigger and, you know, and muzzle awareness, as you said. And stressing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Every chance you get during training.
Absolutely. Now, folks,
that's right.
You know,
yes,
we have Sarge, you know, prior military, and we have Elliot, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. And they're talking about what they do and did at the highest level. And the one thing they all have, they both have in common is safety. Safety, safety, safety. Now, you know, myself, I'm not paramilitary. You know, we have Kia. Kia, I don't think you're paramilitary as well. And,
nope,
you know, we definitely do a lot of training when it comes down to the civilian world. So the same thing translate over. We may not use the same firearm, right? We may not use the same tools, right? But guess what translate over, folk? Finger nice and high against the frame. That means off the damn trigger. And muzzle awareness means point that firearm at something you're not willing to destroy and kill, right? If we're out of range and you flag us, you're a threat because you pointed that firearm at something that you shouldn't be pointing at.
Absolutely.
So muzzle awareness, finger off the trigger. And I love to add one big thing when it comes down to firearm safety. Common sense. If you cannot execute everyday proper, just common sense, don't touch a firearm. And I don't mean in the sense of, you know, don't touch a firearm because, like I don't mean it in the actual sense of, you know, that don't go touch a firearm when you don't, you know, pretty much what I said. What I mean is, for myself, if I'm drinking, guess what? I'm not going to touch a firearm because I can't execute proper common sense, right? I have to know that within myself. For those of you out there that smoke, do your thing. But if you're smoking and you're getting high, don't touch your firearm. It's that simple. Execute proper common sense. And for those of you that sit back and watch a friend or family member or even another member of the Second Amendment community do something stupid with their firearm, and all you do is take out your phone and record it and wait for something bad to happen and laugh when it do happen, number one, you're damn lucky that that muzzle wasn't pointing your direction and hit you, number one, while
That's
you were
right.
busy recording. Number two,
one thing I'm encouraged by, you know, if you stop thinking about civilian use of firearms, and you know, the gun grabbers are constantly telling us that you're more likely to shoot yourself or a member of your family than you are to shoot a criminal, and they love to throw all that out to try to scare you off of your exercising your right to keep and bear arms. In fact, according to every statistic I have read, civilians are, I forgot the exact factor, but it was significant. They are infinitely less likely in a use of force situation, use of deadly force situation, to accidentally shoot somebody than police are.
Yeah.
I was amazed to read that statistic. But it's true.
You know, it's very true. Folks, firearm safety is very important. Sarge, we thank you for always jumping on, sharing your knowledge. Thank you very much. We can't wait till we have the, you know, chatting with Sarge segment. You know, sir, I know I'm going to just say it right now. Can't wait to talk to you again next week, Sarge.
Like I said, I'm really looking forward to doing it. Like I said, you folks out there in the civilian world paid a lot of money to train me over the years. I mean, a lot. Yeah, even when I was a state police officer, I was going to federal FBI courses all the time. I don't know how much it must cost. It was a lot of money. I might as well share some of that back with the taxpayers, what I learned. So that's
no doubt.
Me.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate. We definitely appreciate you.
Kia, I wanna definitely switch gears just a little bit. It's the same realm of safety because this entire time, you know, we've been talking about handling the firearm in the most safest manner, right? But what do y'all think about this? When I talk to my students, I always say, folks, firearm safety actually starts before you strap that firearm to your hip. It actually starts before you go and you purchase your first firearm. It starts as something as simple as knowing your current environment, you know, knowing where you live. Is the household you're currently in, is that household right for you to bring a firearm into it? How are you going to store your firearm when you bring that firearm home? Do you got kids? How old are your kids? How mature are your kids? You know, I always say firearm safety starts before you even purchase that firearm. You know, what kind of firearm are you going to buy? That also adds into it. So what do y'all think of that? I'm a, you know, guys, you know, I always love my list, right? What do y'all think when it comes down to proper firearm storage? You know, tell our listeners, what's your take on that, Kian? And Eve, what's your take on proper firearm storage? Yay, nay, you hate it, you love it, 50-50, what's your take on that?
Do you want me to go first, Elliot, or you want to go?
No, you can go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, Eve, you still there? Did I lose?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
So, what's your take on firearm? What's your take on firearm storage, man? And you know, when it comes down to just safety, you know, but we've been talking about handling this whole time.
I believe education is you know what I'm saying, as much as is important as storage. You know, ignorantly, you know, storing a firearm without educating your children about the dangers of the firearm still could cause a problem. Children are curious. They're going to go looking. They stumble on something. They kick a ball into your closet, and all of a sudden they see a gun case. And now they want to know what the gun case is. You know what I'm saying? And then you have an accidental shooting because they didn't know that this was not a toy. You know what I mean? So, in my household, I do a whole lot
Eve,
of talking to my
Eve,
children.
That's not my fault. Real quick, E. You know, my kid going to my gun closet, into my closet, find my gun. That's not my fault, is it? Like, shouldn't they know better?
Absolutely, your fault.
Is that my fault as a parent?
You brought a life-taking tool into your household. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't let my children touch the stove without letting it, you know, if it's on, without telling them that it's hot. I don't let my children play with knives. You feel what I'm saying? I don't even like them running with a pair of scissors. So why would I bring in a firearm that could take a life quickly and not teach them about the dangers of what, you know what I'm saying, of this firearm? Be like, yo, this is not a toy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I need you, because I need my children. I even do things unloaded, of course, but I do things like I want them to hold the gun. You feel me? Look at the sight. Feel it, because I need you to understand the difference. You pick up a toy gun, and those, now mind you, there are toy guns out there that could fool you, but even a BB gun doesn't have the same weight as a real gun. You know what I'm saying? And I just believe that safety comes, like you said, starts with education. Let me teach you how important. I mean, come on. We educate ourselves. We have to take a written exam before we can actually get behind a car and drive, at least most of us, right?
Right.
You feel me? So, I mean, it's important. That's just how I feel about it. Yo, I don't believe in hiding anything. I don't believe in you know what I'm saying, inciting fear. Oh, if that's thing, oh, be careful. No, I don't believe in that. I believe in educating them. Hey, that's not a toy.
Okay.
Don't touch that.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
If
daddy was tired and he left his firearm sitting out because he was doing something, come get me first. Leave it. Don't touch it. Come get me.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because I believe in clearing the firearm. If I'm going to leave it on the table, it has to be cleared. Completely cleared. You feel what I'm saying? And with the slide locked open. That's just how I feel about it. But if I'm doing that, most times I'm probably getting ready to clean it. You know what I mean? That's just being honest. But even still, I'll do the, hey, guys, I left this right here. Don't come over here. You know what I'm saying? You know the rule, too. If you're going to clean your firearm, no ammunition anywhere, like within reach, period. You know what I mean? So you have to go through the steps,
that,
man. But I just don't I totally believe in education. Yo, I'm going to educate my kids before I just start storing. You know what I mean? Don't touch that. Don't touch this. This is not a toy. You know what I mean? And if I do allow them to use it, I need them. I even taking them to the range and letting them shoot it so they can feel that power.
You know?
Yeah.
I need you to know this is for real.
But let me throw something. Let me throw a wrench in that. I'm gonna play devil's advocate right now. So Kia, I'm trying to put on my best non-two-way. So Kia, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a lady. What do you got to say to that? Because you should be against leaving guns out and kids playing with guns. What is your take on that? How was that, y'all? That was
first
good.
Of all,
that was good.
First of all, my kid is gonna play with guns. She trains with guns. She doesn't play with guns. She trains with guns. So I never tell her that we're going to play. I always tell her that we're training. And as you know, my daughter, my youngest daughter, she trains. She can shoot very well. And I still have a high score on my Laser X that no one has been able to surpass, and it's her score. And I took it to the gun show, and no one was able to beat her score. So she's really good. But we don't play with guns in this house. We train with guns in this house. Before we do any kind of training, we always discuss safety. We always talk about, you know, the safety precautions. She sits through classes with me, you know, when I teach. So we don't play with guns in this house. And I'm a firm believer, and I haven't always been this way, because with my oldest daughter, you know, I didn't want guns in my house. You know, she's 24. I didn't want guns in my house. I didn't want guns around my daughter, you know, da-da-da. But now I understand the importance of just educating children and letting them know, hey, so don't just lock it in a safe or put it in the top of the closet and just, you know, and act like it doesn't exist. It's very important that you tell your kids. Like, I took the kids, my niece and nephews and my daughter, to the gun range. I let them hear it, go into the actual range, of course, with ear protection, and let them hear the loud bang. And because they said, no, if I do pull this trigger, this is what's going to happen, not what I hear on the video games, right? You don't get another life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't get the restart. You don't get, it's not like a little pow, 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 pow. It's a loud noise. And so once you take all the excitement out of it, I think that you don't have anything to worry about when it comes to that area, just constantly leaving that open communication. Because even for people that don't like guns, I posted this on my Facebook page for the Kickoff Safety Awareness yesterday. It's like, even if you don't, if someone's listening and they don't like guns, right, then it doesn't mean your kids don't have questions. So you need to have the conversation regardless of whether or not you like guns or you own a gun. You still need to have the conversation with your children, because they could be at a friend's house whose parents own a firearm. So it's very important you allow them to feel comfortable to come to you.
I like that a lot. So I want you both to say, I'm gonna keep playing the devil's advocate if that's what it is. I'm a concerned parent, and all the time I'm hearing people say, get a gun, Dwayne, you need a gun, and I'm like, I have kids in my house. You have one line, one sentence to tell me, Kia and E. One sentence to tell me as a concerned parent that can possibly ease me into that process. What would you tell me?
I would tell them, teach them about it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Come learn about how safe a firearm could be in the right hands, and then teach your children about it.
Ooh, I like what you just said. What do you mean in the right hands, E?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That's a big thing right there. I didn't even expect you to say that. That was deep.
Absolutely. in the right hand, in a responsible firearms owner's hand, a gun is safe. I mean, because a gun by itself ain't just going to fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone that takes gun safety, gun education, you know what I'm saying, ownership, you know, the responsibility of ownership, they take it seriously, you know, it's a tool, you know what I mean? So someone that's educated, once you learn and then you can teach your kids, definitely. Everybody will realize that they're afraid of really nothing.
I like that, E. I like that. That really, I like that a lot. I'm going to steal that as well. What about you, kid? What is you as a mom and a wife and the lady of the community going to say to me about me taking guns? I'm just playing that in my head right now. I had this whole skit and it's also ego going for this, just so you all know. What would you tell me, Kia?
Come sit in one of my classes.
Okay. Am I bringing my kids or
classes.
Not?
If they're that adamant about it, come sit in one of my classes. Even if it's a mini session class or something, just, you know, pretty much the same thing that Elliot said, just kind of, you know, what is it that you don't like about it? What is it you feel like is dangerous? Or better yet, how are you going to protect your children if someone breaks into your home?
Okay.
What is your plan? If you're not going to use a gun, what's your plan?
A challenge. I like it because it's not about get a gun. It's a challenge. Like, what's your plan? Let me help you with your plan. I love it. And for me, I'm a pretty much echo what you two are both saying. Education. Get the education piece from a responsible gun owner, folks. Don't just chase the person on YouTube that has all the likes. No. Find a responsible gun owner. It don't have to be someone that's been in the industry for 22 years. It don't have to be someone that's prior military or prior law enforcement. Just find someone that is a responsible gun owner. Even if you are nervous for going to go take a class and you have a friend or family member that owns a firearm for the last couple of years and you deem them responsible, ask them a simple question. Hey, Kia, you have a kid. You have some kids, and you have, like, 59 guns in your home. How are you not having an incident like what I see all over YouTube? Say, Elliot, you build 50 BMGs. And I see these people and their guns are blowing up in their faces. Why have I never heard you having an incident like that? What are you doing so different? And, folks, you ask me, you know, the same question. I'm going to say, number one, like Elliot says, forget what you see on YouTube, folks. Don't let YouTube be your guide for everything. Take YouTube with a grain of salt, you know. Take YouTube, what you see on YouTube, for a grain of salt. A lot of times those folks are reading or going off of a script that's focused on them getting likes and followers so that they can make money off of you watching this content for education purposes. See, that's a crazy, ugly circle.
Absolutely.
Right? But I love it, folks. I absolutely love it. My thing when it comes down to gun safety, Kia, you said it, and you said it awesomely. If awesomely is a word, guys, is awesomely a word? I'm using it today.
It is
right
now. It's a
point
blank word.
It's a word, right? So don't leave your kids curious, man. That's where the problem comes in. And for the you parent, you said it. It is your damn fault if you have a if your kid finds your gun and have a negligent discharge. You cannot blame your kid. It is your fault. You didn't teach him. You didn't hide it properly enough. You didn't secure it. Let me not say hide it. It's not about hiding. You didn't secure it. It is your fault. Own it and do better. Okay? And
absolutely.
That's all I got to say on that. You know, I love this kind of Kia. Thank you for bringing this, man, because this is something that I feel like we don't talk enough about is gun safety. We talk about how much we love guns. I love my guns. I love all of my guns. You know, I love, like I said earlier, I love shooting them. I love shooting my guns. I get excited.
But I'm gonna say,
I
want to say something
off
too.
My range. You don't have to keep proper going. Go ahead, E.
Well, when it comes to that's fearful, right? And I just was thinking about this. You know, we could educate you. You know what I'm saying? We could definitely teach you about how to be safe, how safe a gun could be in the right hands. But at the end of the day, if you're fearful, that's still a danger. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't want someone on the squad that's scary. You feel what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
When it's time to fight, we all in. You feel what I'm saying? And if you're not,
right.
That the one person that's full of fear could get us killed. He could get someone killed because he's not. You know what I'm saying? That's not where his heart is. Everybody's not. And I know people say this. Oh, everybody has a fight in them. Yeah, but everybody's fight ain't the same fight. You feel what I'm saying? Because I know lawyers
right.
that'll get into a courtroom. You know what I mean? I know a few of them. They'll get into a courtroom, man, and they will lay it down. And if you know where you should have been guilty, they find. You know they got. They convince everybody that you're innocent. But you ask them to get into a fist fight. You know what I mean? They hiding behind the bouncer. They trying to dial 911 100 times. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's fight is not the same fight. Everybody, you know, is not a warrior on the same level. That's why everybody didn't join the military. Let's just be realistic. And even in the military,
right,
that's why everybody didn't decide to go special force. You get what I'm saying? It's not in them. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody doesn't
there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that,
but
folks.
That's what I'm saying,
it's
man.
Just you
got
to be able to call a spade and recognize what you where you fit in. You know,
if you're not if that's not you, that's okay. But don't be a part of the group that's trying to keep those of us that want firearms from having them. You know what I mean? If you don't want one, hey, that's cool. If you're afraid of them, that's fine. But don't be the American that's standing against us because we want one. You feel what I'm saying? Because we're not calling you out because I'm just going to be real. We're not calling you out for being a coward. You feel what I'm saying? Okay. If you don't want to shoot a gun, that's fine. But you know what I mean? But I'm not going to make fun of you because of that. But don't be the advocate. You feel me? Don't be the front runner. Nobody should have an AR-15. What are you talking about, buddy? Have you ever shot an AR-15? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody should have.
Especially when we're out here doing it safely, too. You know, we're out here doing it the right way, you know? We're doing it the right way. We're not out here in our backyards just pointing in a blank woods, pulling the trigger and talking about, oh, yeah, I don't know where those rounds went. I don't know where those bullets went to. And no, we're out here teaching our families. We're teaching the youth because at the end of the day, it starts with – none of this stuff, the future don't start with us, folks. We're already here. We're old. You know, the future starts with these kids. And we're out here teaching them the right way so that what you are talking about and advocating on what you saw on Channel 9 News with that one person having that stupid negligent discharge that's all you're focusing on, that's all you're focusing on. That's one out of how much gun owners we have, responsible gun owners in the U.S.? I'm a responsible gun owner. My wife is. My family is. You folks have your family and friends that are. You know, don't judge all of us and threaten to take away what we utilize to protect ourselves and our family because you have one bad apple. Because guess what? How many lawyers, I'm going to use the lawyer because you said lawyer. How many lawyers out there have charged found the wrong people guilty, and after years upon years of being left in prison, they're like, oh, snap, I guess I made a mistake, and this person just lost 50 years of their life. They don't take your life. No, they don't ban lawyers. They don't hashtag ban lawyers. They don't do that.
We still got millions of cars, and people die, you know what I'm saying, because they don't want to use safety rules. Right, speed limit, right? Safety belts, seat belts, airbags, all these things, right? I mean, we know there are rules. Stop lights, right? When the light gets ready to turn yellow, start slowing down, you know what I mean? Or proceed with caution. We know all of those rules, but yet people are still dying in car accidents every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not every day. But yet, we're not trying to ban vehicles.
Yeah, very true. Folks, don't be a part of the problem. When you buy your firearm, before you buy your firearm, I like to say this to all my students, especially the ones that are new to firearms. Before you buy your firearm, think gun safety, period. Think gun safety. Can you bring this gun into your home safely? And I'm not talking about sneaking it in or none of that junk. I'm talking about can you have this firearm in your home and for a second – turn your back and go wash some dishes and that firearm stays safe. If the answer is no, guess what? It starts with you. Don't bring that gun into the home. Don't, because you're doing yourself and you're part of the problem. You want that 100%. Gun so bad, you're willing to ignore the safety behind it. You know, not every kid, you know, I get this question. I know you two get this question now, whatever fellow instructor is listening right now. Hey, Kia, Elliot, Dwayne, what age should I start teaching my kid to shoot a gun? Hey, that's between you, your kid, and y'all's maturity. start at different ages. My son is 11. He knows how to shoot. My daughter is 8. I'm teaching her. My nephew is 5, and he is in the mix. This kid will reprimand anybody when it comes down to firearms. I could have him name off all the parts of a gun, of a handgun. You know, he's 5, you know. So you start it, if that's between you, the parent, and the maturity of your kid. It got nothing to do with age, and you can't ask me at all. That's not my kid. I don't know that baby. That's your baby, you know. But you have to recognize your environment and your opportunity and your opportunities. I'm talking like I'm at work. And whatever you got going on at home to see, is this environment okay to bring a firearm into? And then you start from there. Do you need a safe? I don't believe in locking my gun, my home defense gun up. But guess what? Maybe you do because you have a cousin or somebody that just don't get it. Or maybe you didn't, like Kia said, they don't play guns. They train, create a home defense. Is it around guns, swords, knives, Mazatovs, whatever the hell you want it to be? You train and you involve your family around those firearms, you know. So, folks, you got to take me off my soapbox here, and E, take me off before I keep going.
Yeah, I want to hit a point real quick. So,
yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
On that note about bringing a firearm, you know what I'm saying, and not having a safe, I wasn't really one for a safe either, but I have, you know, teenagers, you feel me? And they like to bring their friends around. And, you know what I mean, I don't know, I know my kids, but I don't know the intent every kid that they bring in. Now, of course,
Absolutely.
My kids don't hang around with thugs and punks and you feel me? But I don't know who they're talking to outside of, you know what I'm saying, coming over to my house. So my thing on locking it up in, you know what I'm saying, in a safe or, you know what I'm saying, put it in a safe location or, you know, that only you disclose location, you know of, you know what I mean? I would do it because I have teenagers that are in and out of my house. You feel me? And everybody ain't good-hearted. Everybody's not, you know what I'm saying? You could have one of these little knuckleheads, you know what I mean, plotting. I mean, it happens. I'm going to throw something out there. Everybody,
it's like buying
everybody
a new car.
Football.
It's like having a car.
Yeah, look at the football player, Sean Taylor, right, that passed away, you know what I'm saying, was shot and killed because his sister had invited some guys over to help. I think they were helping her brother move into his new home. You feel what I'm saying? And then whole time they were helping and friends of his sister, they were plotting to rob this guy and ended up killing him. You feel me?
Yeah.
So safety, there are many parameters. I mean, there are many areas of safety. And one of those things is being aware. I don't know everybody that's walking through the door. I know that, or I may know them by name, but I might not know the next person that they're in the car with. You get what I'm saying? Hey, I don't know what they're doing. I need to be a little bit cautious. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I agree.
That's just something I just want to throw out there.
I have a teenager too, and I have teenage nieces and nephews and things like that. My thing is this: if you're a guest, there's only certain parts of my house you're going to anyway, right? So you're not gonna be all over in and out of my house. So it's like, and then two, like my daughter, like she knows, like you know, hey, there's certain places we don't hang out, like when. So it's like, you know, I guess it's also too, you know, talking to your kid and getting an understanding that hey, you know. Like I have two living rooms, so she knows the back living room is where the kids hang out, right? No one's hanging out in my front living room, right? So it's like it's just kind of things like that we set the expectations in this house, and it's not going to be kids everywhere, right? It's going to be certain places that they go. So you know, everybody sets their house up the way they want to set their house up, but I mean, I don't like I think education to your children, even if you don't know those kids that come over, it's like, hey, my mom not gonna like that, or no, my dad not gonna like that, or daddy, let me pull you to the side, like, let me tell you, I'm telling this person not to go in here, but they keep trying to go in there, then I can handle it from there, right? And so, you know, without maybe embarrassing her, just redirect everybody, let's go outside and watch a movie or something like that, as opposed to, hey, little girl, call your mama. You know, or something like that. But it's just, you know, setting an expectation with your kids, and your kid comes to you and be like, hey, something not right and I don't like it. And my daughter will do that.
I love that, Kia. You know, Kia, you said something that resonated with me earlier. And you pretty much said, I lost my train of thought, but you were talking about the education piece, right? And I started thinking about my kids. Well, okay, so my kids, they really don't have friends. My kids are, I'm their friend. Their mom and their daddy, their friend. But we do have nieces and nephews that come on over. What do you do when they come on over? And, you know, you just hit it on the head. You hit heels on the head. I have my way that I handle it. And that's three different instructors that focus heavily on safety. Figure out the way you do it in your home. That's all. It's about safety. It's always about safety. And, you know, you was talking earlier, Tia, about teaching, right? I completely lost my train of thought. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to toss it back to you, E. I lost my train of thought because I know. They don't have much. Not much, bro. No, I have not
hey,
much.
But look.
I lost my train of thought. Well, I was going to
talk about, too. When concerning, and I see the time is getting low, but concerning watching, you know, instructional videos, instructors do things that they shouldn't do, and they do these things not because they're ignorant, but because they were taught by someone that taught them
to do it that way.
A poor technique or a habit. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
And this happens in life with a lot of different areas. But this one topic I want to talk about, this one time I was trying to clear my weapon. I had cleared the weapon and went through the whole procedure. Now, mind you, when I pulled the slide back, it did not eject the round. You understand what I'm saying? So my assumption was, again, right, we know we're supposed to do 2 points a check. But at the time, I didn't do it, right? This is my embarrassing story. I didn't do it. So I went and I did what I was taught to do, that after I pulled the slide back, I've already removed my source of feed. I racked the slide, no round ejected. I pulled the trigger, right? The firearm did not go off. I'm telling you, this is the grace of God. It didn't go off, but there was nobody around me either. But still, my point was, this was a technique that I should not have done, and I don't teach this technique, all right? Unnecessary. But for some reason, I decided to rack the slide and lock it. And when I racked the slide and I locked it, the round was stuck in the chamber, it was still stuck in the chamber. And I was like, oh, my God. So I had to somehow pry it out. Now, it was a .40 caliber. It was supposed to fit, but for some reason, this round stayed in. This is a crazy story. But the fire tent didn't strike the primer, so it wasn't like it was a delayed fire or anything like that. So I pulled the round out. Yeah, it was crazy. So I removed the round. And I'm like, man, I'm looking at this, you know, at this bullet in my hand, and I'm like, oh, my God. That could have been a problem had I thought or tried to put it away or was, you know what I'm saying, taking my gun and, you know what I'm saying, always keep it in a safe direction. But, you know, when I lay it down in the in its case, it may be pointed in a safe direction, but what if someone had walked by? You know what I mean? Anything could have happened, man. It scared me so bad. It scared me so bad, I said, you know what, I'll never do that again. From that moment on, I started doing, it has to be 2 points to check, right? I'm checking the chamber. I'm checking the magazine well, right? I need to look down the chamber. I need to look in the magazine well. I have to make sure. So, and I said that to say, that is a poor technique. Oh, I'm going to rack the slide. I'm going to, you know, remove the magazine, rack the slide, pull the trigger. No, stop doing that. Remove the magazine. Lock the slide. Look down the chamber. Look down the magazine well. Then you know 100% for certain that firearm cannot fire. It's no longer a threat.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Dwayne, do you remember what you were going to say, Dwayne?
No, I don't remember at all. I think it was pertaining to pretty much what you were talking about, the kids, man. Like I said, you already echoed everything you said beautifully. So, but I did want to touch base real quick on what E was saying just now when it come down to racking that slide. That right there, folks, was a bad, I don't want to say bad training. I'll leave that up to you, E, if you decide that was bad training. That's just a bad direction, right? But in that situation, he had a malfunction. It may not have been a squib load or a hang fire, a misfire, yeah, whatever, but at the end of the day, it was still some form of a malfunction. And if he would have just, like you said, put the gun to the side and not keep it in a safe direction, what if it would have went off? You know? So
right.
I want to challenge you all to this. When it comes down to safety, Kia said it, know your firearm. Know your damn firearm. Don't just go to it's okay to come to us and say, hey, I don't have a gun. I want to learn. That's fine. But know your firearm when you buy it. Know how it sounds. Know how it functions. Know the proper rounds it needs to carry. That all ties into proper gun safety, folks. Definitely ties into proper gun safety. And know what malfunctions look like, sound like. Look them up on YouTube. And know how to clear them. Practice at home, practice at the range, but when you practice, make sure that when you're practicing at home, you're doing it with dry fire, which is you're not using live ammo. E said it earlier. When you're doing anything with your firearm at home, whether it's cleaning it or doing dry fire, your live ammunition, keep out of arm's reach. I like to say keep it out of that room or keep it in the room for safety because you want to be able to get to it, but put it high. If you're sitting in your desk, don't put it in your drawer. Don't put it in front of your desk. Don't put it on the ground. It's too close. Put it on the top shelf or somewhere in your office or your room or whatever, right? Keep it from arm's reach. Put it away to where you actually have to get up to go get it. And practice how to clear malfunctions safely. But there's two different ways to clear a malfunction. There's the way you clear a malfunction if there's a threat. Also, a way you clear a malfunction with range etiquette. Ian Keelan, you know, you guys definitely sound off on this, because I know we don't got a lot of time. You know, I hear a lot of tap rack roll, tap rack reassess. I use tap rack method, but I teach that for when you're outside range, if you're doing any kind of tactical training-esque, if you're doing any kind of speed drills. But when you're indoors, you can't really tap rack roll, because what if it's a squib load and that hot round lands on the floor behind you, you call your tap rack and roll. Have range etiquette when you're doing your different trainings. And I remember real quick, Kia, for those of you folks, right, Kia said it earlier about training your family members. For those of you that don't care about firearms, that's fine. Do y'all think it's really okay that you don't care about firearms, but does that stop your kids from being curious? Do you think that they shouldn't know about firearms, what they look like, what a real one feels like, and no safety around how to identify a firearm or what to do when you see a firearm on the ground? Folks, that's also gun safety. So you don't have to be a gun owner to learn gun safety. Because, again, gun safety isn't just about you having a firearm.
Yes.
If my nephew, again, five, if he – go ahead, Kia, go ahead.
Oh, no. I know we only have about 60 seconds left. So I also want to make sure that we're going to definitely have to come back and circle back to gun safety, especially
absolutely,
when it comes to children. We have all month. We're going to definitely dig into, maybe we'll do a segment on just children. But also, as part of being a responsible and safe gun owner, is getting the insurance, you guys. So you don't drive your car without insurance. Don't own your firearm without insurance. We'll pick another time to kind of go over some of the different types of insurance and what we mean by insurance. But start Googling firearms insurance. Make sure you have that, because that is very important. It's, you know, part of being responsible is having insurance, so that, you know, for various reasons. And, you know, you just want to make sure you have insurance. Like I said, you don't drive your car without insurance, but you want to make sure that you have insurance. So, thank you guys so much for listening to Point Blank and joining us this evening.
Woo-hoo.
And we will see you guys next week. We're going to celebrate Elliot's birthday.
New York.
No doubt.
He's coming in hot. He's coming hot.
Yeah.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right, y'all.